Ready to start the show.
Yeah, there's a show?
Yes.
There's a show. All right, this is 8:67. Where does the time go? All right. You can give me a count around, Joel? Hey, count down the number of McDonald's fries you had tonight.
I have no idea. Handful, wasn't that big. 2, 3, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
My fly is open.
Showtime!
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the strongest co-direct at DLNGS.org and IC Talents at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 867 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy summer.
We have Joel.
Maybe.
Fly Rich.
From the Hughes Compound Southern Command. Oh, Fraz, I mean. Flying Rich Autonomous Zone.
And Joe.
I'm here.
All right. So it's, shit, it's almost August.
Yup.
I've been doing a ton of, I don't want to call it varnish, because it's not really varnish. It is, but it's fastly varnish. This old bastardized version of varnish worked this week.
Varnish.
Yeah, varnish is a caching, it's a web caching software that is under Apache. I think it's under Apache license, but it's useful, I mean, obviously for caching, but Fastly, the company, does like API stuff and has the caching in front of it. So we utilize them instead of rolling our own. So I think I talked about this before, but did you ever hear of an application called Transmogrify?
No.
No. So Transmogrify, God, is it? So it is an image manipulation library, and so when the way that it's implemented in our company is we have a program, a software called Minimogrify that we wrote a long time ago, that runs inside of it's a Python based application, I think, and what it does is it'll crop, resize images on the fly, either doing a standard crop or a box crop. And so you pass it parameters to the application in the URL and it transforms the image to that way. So we're trying to sunset that thing because it was like an old version that is in our legacy system and it's on-prem. And Fastly has image manipulation tools built into their API, and so we've been working on translating the VCL code to be able to manage those, manipulate those images due to scaling and the cropping and resizing in through the Fastly VCL, which is Varnish VCL, instead of having it go through our legacy application. So that's been a joy, because right now we have the code in place to do it. Now what we have to do is the testing. So we have to write the test inside the our repositories for it. So a lot of our infrastructure, particularly on the Google side of things, is in Terraform. Does anybody here work in Terraform?
Nope.
So Terraform is like a templated language which allows you to define, and it's not just strictly for Google, it's like for all sorts of things. There's AWS Terraform too. And so if you need to stand up services in AWS or Google, instead of doing them through the interface, you could write Terraform files which define all your services, so you can create IAM accounts and or service accounts on the Google side, and then you can have like what we've done, like what I've personally done is create service accounts, create Spanner databases, define those, define this the database as well as the PubSub, which is a queuing software like RabbitMQ.
You mean it's not a Publix sub?
No.
It's not lunch?
Actually, it is. All of Google's stuff, technically, unless you put like your applications, you put firewall rules onto them, it's all publicly accessible. Your PubSub stuff is publicly accessible.
No, Dan, I'm making a joke. The Publix supermarkets, they call the sandwiches there a PubSub.
Oh, yeah, Publix now. So it's called Publishing Subscription. It's their messaging, gotcha. Messaging queue software. So all that stuff we define in Terraform. And then you, through our CI, it does... Now, this is not under our control. It's under another group's control, but the Terraform stuff, we write the code for the Terraform. Our Fastly VCLs are in there, too. So we write the VCL in there, and then they use Go for kicking off the test. They've written a test suite called Go Fastly Test, which does some standardized testing, because it will write the VCL out, and well, you'll have the VCL out there, so it's got the Terraform to push the VCL up into the Fastly service. It'll activate that configuration in the CI environment and then run the tests against it. So right now I'm at the part of integrating it into there and running tests, you know, figuring out how to write the tests and running against that. So it's been a wonderful learning experience. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that I regret that we didn't do is, so we use Sumo Logic and New Relic right now. Sumo Logic is our logging aggregation software. It's a service. We used to do a little bit of rolling our own, but we've been on board with Sumo Logic for a while, and then New Relic is a monitoring software.
Now, is all this open source, or is this stuff you got to pay for, or you just pay for the support?
So these are services. Sumo Logic and New Relic are companies that provide these services. Okay. A lot of it. So you've heard of Datadog, right?
Mm-hmm.
So New Relic is kind of like Datadog. You can. Like, there, we've been talking about, and it's been bantered around, whether or not they're going to, what is the logging software, the logging aggregation software?
Splunk?
Centralized logging, the open source one. I can't remember what it is. Gosh, I can't remember what it is. We've been talking about implementing that for a while, but it just hasn't happened yet. So we skirt between rolling our own and, in certain cases, using services so that we don't have to have too much management overhead of rolling our own. But I wrote or created a lot of alerts and stuff like that inside of New Relic and Sumo Logic, and every time that we make a significant change, like if we move from like AWS to Kubernetes, when we did that, and then from Kubernetes, like one Kubernetes cluster to another one, we've had to make changes to all those alerts and monitors to point it to the new location where they are. And we've gotten a little bit better at generalizing it. But had I built all that in Terraform and been able to push that out, making those changes in like Terraform files are 1,000 times easier and faster than having to go through an interface.
I hate to ask this, or it sounds like you got to be good at like 10 different frameworks or languages or something. You know, it sounds awful.
What do you mean? You mean like in the company I work for, or
like just your job?
Oh yeah. So Ruby, Python, Go. I don't have to be, but the more I know, the more I can do.
And the more you get paid, right? Oh no.
Well, not necessarily, but when, so if I know Groovy and I know and I can write YAML.
Oh, people are using Groovy?
Yeah, well, Jenkins is pretty much Groovy. So Jenkins is a lot of Groovy.
Okay, is anybody using Grails?
No, I haven't used Grails.
Oh, okay.
That's Groovy and Ruby, right?
Well, it's basically like Ruby on Rails. It's Groovy on Grails.
Okay, yeah, Groovy on Grails. No,
so that's the framework.
I haven't used Grails, but we've had to do Ruby for Chef, and you know you it's a good point there, Rich. Like it's great. You end up getting exposed to all these languages, and you can begin to work in them. But it's hard to get a mastery of any one of them
Teradata, you got YAML, you got XAML, you got...
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah, the whole YAML
JSON
thing.
And, I mean, there's all these things, because we're kind of heading right down the similar
route. First off, XML is such a horrific crap show. It's unbelievable. So JSON makes a lot of sense over XML. But then again, for readability, YAML is a lot easier. But a lot of these things, again, not like I'm a genius in YAML or, you know, any of this stuff, but I can look at it, understand it, read it, you know what it is. But, you know, when you're talking a couple of different languages, yeah, most languages I can look at, and if there's some code there, I can alter it. But if you ask me to write something from scratch, I'm like a little lost. But I can definitely... you know, take two pieces of code and put them together, or take one and modify it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, just like I was saying,
and it also goes go ahead.
If you get exposure to it and you're flexible enough, but when you shift around to a bunch of different languages, like if you don't touch one for 3 or 4 months, you lose a lot.
So, oh, like, yeah. Yep.
When I have to go back to Chef stuff, which I really have touched Chef once in... You're fine. Go ahead. I've really only touched Chef once in the past year, once or twice, and
right. It's
a whole learning curve
right. All
over again.
Yeah, I mean, that's like we're in the process of implementing Datadog and everything from synthetics to application performance monitors and stuff like that, and... We're also working on AWS modernization, basically taking a lot of our clients to newer classes of AWS instances, and some more secure too. Like right now, for example, our Windows clients, even though the servers are in AWS, they're still on their domain, so they can push out a group policy from the domain controller, which has caused us problems. So we're going to fix that. Everyone has to use what we call EIS or Ethos Identity Services. Basically, it's just WSO2 for single sign-on. So that's one of the things we're doing. And eventually, see, right now, we're using Jenkins a lot. We're going to be using Git. Eventually, we're going to bring in Kubernetes and containers and stuff. But
I don't
right
get
now,
Git. Huh?
Git. Don't get Git.
You don't.
I don't
get
it. I don't get Git.
I'm wondering how much of Git's going to have to change, because I'm trying to remember, isn't part of Git master, and like there's a master copy, and...
I don't... I'm trying to remember if that...
Now, this is the other thing that I'm kind of, you know, worried about, or not so worried about, whatever. When you look at, like, mean or this or that, there's a whole bunch of different languages that are all scripted that, you know, it's all command line, as opposed to, I thought when Visual Basic came out, it's going to be, hey, you're going to drag and drop crap, and then you're going to write code. Or most of the code's going to be written for you. But it kind of seems like we went backwards.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that so works many freaking in a WYSIWYG of everything. Type thing like that.
Yeah, that's the one thing with all. Well, the WYSIWYG thing is not as fast. That's why, you know, when you can just write a script
for laying out a UI. Yeah.
Right. Right. I mean, that's what the Visual Basic was, is pretty much laying out a UI and then writing a connecting code between the buttons, essentially. I'm greatly simplifying it, but
maybe the death of that is because nobody does an installed app anymore. Everything's web-based.
Right.
You know, you make a good point there, Rich, and I don't know, like, I've been on back-end stuff for so long, and like the team that I'm on that does front end stuff also do the front end stuff for our CMS it's all written in AngularJS. So yeah, there is no like Visual Basic or Visual anything type editor that they use. But then again, I know that for particularly for web design, visual editors were always frowned upon in the developer community, but application development wise, I don't know.
Okay, so what was the tool called? It sounded like Cold Fusion, but it wasn't Cold Fusion. There was NetObjects Fusion. And what, like, if you did UI design on the internet with a tool like NetObjects Fusion, it was a horror show. It was. You had hope you got it right the first time, because there's no way if you tweak it that you're going to re-import it and do it again. It would made all sorts of nested tables. You know, this is pre-CSS, so the web always was a horror show for, you know, drag and drop GUI web UI stuff.
It was called NetFusion?
NetObjects Fusion.
Oh,
I
net
can't believe
objects.
I remembered that.
It's still there.
Really? I'm just going to Google it up.
NetObjects.com. It's NetObjects website design software. NetObjects Fusion is powerful website design software that has earned critical praise and worldwide recognition. Obviously not from you. Wow, it's $129.
No. Although it does say free website design software, NetObjects Fusion.
Wait, how is it free?
I don't know. I'm going to click that link.
When the page I'm on says it's $129.
I guess building great websites today. Send me and download a license key. Everything you need online. I'm wondering if it does CSS now as opposed to horrific table. Yeah, this is it. I remember the UI. Oh my God.
I mean, imagine it doesn't do CSS now. I mean,
and I haven't touched this since the turn of the century.
Like, who is this designed for?
Somebody that sells antiques and doesn't know anything about anything?
Well, I'm just curious, because, like...
And needs a website for their antique store?
It would seem like somebody who wanted a website for their antique store would go with, like, what are those? What are those companies?
Wix or Squarespace?
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't know who doesn't. I don't know. Maybe there's a bunch of people out there that'll build you a website using NetObjects. Somebody must be buying it. They're still in company. They're still in business.
Indeed, that could be a possibility.
I don't know. Should you put your blog on your website, a link to your blog, if your last update was Tuesday, September 15th, 2015?
Wait. Is that... Hold on. Yes! Net Objects agrees. I can't even say. Net Objects agrees to acquire Koken. High quality images and visual appeal to every website. The web offers billions of photos. Blah, blah, blah. Public domain. Wow. All right, I think I got to download it. I'm wondering if anything on this website still works. I'm having it send me a license key.
Which one?
NetObjects Fusion. Are you talking to somebody else when there's a podcast with millions of people listening?
No, no.
Millions of people listening. You're optimistic.
Or at least people that send me hate mail like I got last week.
Well, how are you seeing free?
Like, I don't know. Just when I Googled it, it said free. And so the URL... Oh, my God. Where was I? I called... So I'm doing a refi on my house, right? And I called the town of Islip because I needed the tax statement. And I said, you know, I call them up, you know, nice... It's the tax office or whatever. I say, hi, I don't have my tax statement. I need to get a copy of it. The lady says, well, on your tax statement, it tells you where to go on our website to get a copy of it. I'm like,
freaking moron.
Just said I don't have my tax statement. Well, one of your previous I'm like, yeah, I don't have that one either. I'm not home. And I, you know, need the document. She's like, well, what web page are you on? I'm like, I'm on http://islipgov.what/. She's like, I don't know what that is. Can you get to the homepage?
Wow.
I'm like, and then I go to the homepage, and then she's like, click on here. And then I click on here, and it was the URL I was just on.
Idiot.
But I couldn't tell you how many times she says, well, on your tax bill, it said, I'm like, the first thing I said is, I don't have my tax bill and I need a copy. And she kept referring me back to my tax bill.
Freaking customer service.
She's like, another tax bill has just been sent out and you'll get it in 2 weeks. And I'm like,
oh
yeah,
boy.
But I need it now. I'm filling out a form.
Right.
And it couldn't give you that information?
I eventually got it from the website, but I mean, this lady, it's like, she might as well have been a recording. It might as well have been push one for stupid answer, push two for stupid answer.
Well, she's a New Yorker, of course she was an asshole.
She's Joel.
Poor Rick.
Don't forget, I can figure out where you live.
You already know where I live, Jesus. Wait,
so, you know, in a similar thing, Rich...
I still haven't gotten the email from NetObjects Fusion so I can download my free copy.
wait, they're still back in 2015, so it's got to go through their Hotmail account first, and somebody has to approve it. So when Paige moved back into town and we had to sign on as guarantors for the lease, they had called me up on a Friday afternoon. This is the Friday before July 4th. So it's July 3rd. And they're like, we ran your credit information, and it tells us that your Social Security number doesn't match your name.
Oh, jeez.
It's not right. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's like, it tells us that that's not your Social Security number. So it's like, can you send us, can you either bring the card or send us a picture of your Social Security card? So I'm like, all right. I went looking for my card. I could not find my Social Security card. So I said to the wife, like,
why, you want me to send you a copy of it?
Yeah, thanks. I'm like, I can't find the card. I don't know. I don't know where it is. It's not where it's supposed to be. It's gone. And she got all upset. And she's like, oh, we need to get this taken care of, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, how the hell am I going to get a Social Security card on January 3rd? You know, forget it. I'm not even going to get a hold of anybody to talk this out. So I'm like, all right. 10 minutes later, I'm scrambling around trying to figure out what to do. They call us back. She's like, "We apologize. We put your address or something in wrong, or your birthday in wrong." They put my wrong birth date or something in, and then once they did it, everything ran. But I was in a situation where I don't have my social security card. So like, I'm like, okay, what do I need to do to go get a social security card? So I go to the social security website and I log in. I answer a few questions, click a button to send them my card, and 3 weeks later, I get the card in the mail.
No way.
And I'm like, wait a minute. What the hell?
Like, you could have filled out your George Bush and got a social security card.
Why is it that I could get my social security card that easily, but everything else is like, all I had to do was answer questions that anybody who hacked into my credit information could have gleaned off of there. It's like, did you ever work at one of these companies or something like that? Because it's got your credit history or whatever. It compares it
to. So I look at your LinkedIn profile, boom, I'm in.
You could probably, yeah. And you know, I was like, this is really weird that I can so easily just create an account and get a social security card, but I can't like get my driver's license renewed online or whatever it is. Like, you actually have to go into the DMV to do that. Yep. Or anything else. But then again, you know, if somebody already has all of that information, them having your social security card probably isn't that much of a deal breaker. You know, it's probably more of a pain in the ass.
You can get a replacement driver's license without going in.
Yeah. Well, I can renew my plates. One of my cards, I can renew the plates online, but the other one I can't because it's an amateur radio license, which is stupid. I can mail it in, though. It's like, really? It's like, I can't just, like, you know, why do you care? You know, because they want to make sure, because I have amateur radio plates, all right? And why it matters to the state that they absolutely positively confirm that I hold the license W3REZ. They actually want a paper copy, which the FCC doesn't even send you anymore. It's like, yeah, so I just go to the website and print one out if I need one. It's like, you know, and this is why I have a deep distrust of a lot of government things. You know, it's because of how silly and how stupid some of this is. I mean, it's just, they don't make sense.
Uh-oh, I went to NetObject's Facebook page. They haven't posted since April 6, 2015.
Oh, look at this crazy shit, right? This is beautiful. So you can get the NetObject Fusion 2015 full version. So you're right, Rich. I don't know. It's $129. But then there's additional options. So that allows you to download it. You can get a backup CD. So you get a copy of the software on CD for an additional $14.95. Or you could also get extended download service that if you didn't make a backup of your hard disk, you risk losing your downloaded software. So this allows you for $14.95, you can download the software as many times as you want for up to 1 year from the order date.
Okay. So their forum, let's see, there's a post 2 days ago on their forum, 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, huh? 18 hours ago. There was a post 18 hours ago on their forum.
Oh boy.
And they're in someplace Pennsylvania.
What is a system administrator? Was the post, was it apply?
They're in Doylestown, PA.
Oh my goodness! So they're really in Doylestown, PA, huh?
Yeah, I'm just looking at their code. It's all in divs now. Let's see. Yeah, the div gets some random number. It's like text 59, text 63, text 64, text 65.
Tweet.
Hey, it's got improved CSS3.
I'm going to say, do you remember when you used to go to websites and it would have those little tags on there? We use CSS. We use XML. We use
Best feud with Mozilla.
Yeah. And the under construction dude, you know, the animated. Yeah. Nobody puts those on it because every website's under construction because that's how the web is today. You don't update your web pages and keep the log. It's so weird back in the day.
Hey, Dan, you work for a big company, right?
I do.
Okay, so my company, I don't consider big company. I mean, we own hospitals in multiple states, but they're getting a whole diversity team in and setting it up, and we've had a couple of like all hands meetings where they're talking about the topic of diversity. Are you having the same thing going on at your company?
Oh, they've had that in place for a while.
Well, it's never been. Yeah, I mean, we've always had like, hey, don't grow up the interns, that kind of thing going on. You know, the all of that standard canned training. You know, not to this, don't.
Whatever. No, there's there's like a lot of different like diversity groups and stuff.
The newest thing in companies is employee resource group, where people can basically be in a group of everyone that's alike. You know, like there's a African American one, there's a women in technology one, and so on and so forth.
So Joel, start a Second Amendment group and see how far that goes.
It won't go nowhere.
But yeah, I mean, they have ramped up some stuff, but it's been pretty prevalent since I've been working there. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of that in place.
Right after the George Floyd thing, they had a all hands meeting for basically all the black employees. I'm not kidding. They actually had that. To have a discussion about it. But, you know, it's just interesting how people are dealing with some of the weirdness with all this stuff, with the virus and all the stuff that's been going on. It's just trying to sort it all out can be difficult sometimes.
Now, so I take it that the place, like, have they opened up any of the offices and have people coming back in the offices where you work?
Oh,
or,
obviously,
the hospitals.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, like,
I got to tell you, like, a series of stupid things. So, okay, so Joe, we originally were under that, the earliest date we're coming back is September. And so prior to that, I asked, I'm like, hey, you know, I've got a DVI port on my laptop and a USB-C, but apparently they got this laptop so locked down, nothing you plug into the USB-C will work. And I just recently bought some, you know, port replicator that had two HDMI ports on it. And they're like, oh yeah, we won't unlock it for you. I had to wait a week for them to tell me that, you know, for the tech support person to tell me, oh yeah, is it an approved device? I'm like, no. He's like, yeah, we're not unlocking. Yeah. So when prior to them announcing that we're not going back until 2021 at the earliest, I asked like, hey, any chance I could get my port replicator? I don't want the monitor. I don't want the keyboard. I don't want the mouse. I just want the port replicator. So, because I got monitors, I'll plug one in. Like, I got pounced on in this meeting. And it was with, like, my director, my manager, my supervisor. You know, my supervisor wasn't talking, but, you know, they're like, no, that's company property. I'm like, why would you care if I take the, you know, docking station? So, anyhow, then it comes down that...
Isn't it a company laptop?
Yeah, a company laptop, yep. So, all right, after I got shot down...
Basically, you're asking... Let me see if I got this straight. You're asking them to go into the office to get the port replicator, and they won't let you take it home.
Correct, yes.
Okay, that's stupid, because I actually have a Thunderbird. Well, granted, I've always been a remote worker. I could probably have them pay for, like... I don't have it. Like, I have an external monitor that I ended up using points for to buy, you know, which is technically my own money. I could have the company buy one for me, but I choose not to. And because I just want to use it myself.
What you're saying is you're only allowed to use authorized devices, but you can't get authorized devices because they won't let you.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm wondering if, you know, people above me, you know, management can plug anything into their laptop and it works. Because, like, I have a USB-C to HDMI cord that works on my Chromebook, but it won't work on my laptop. And then I got this port replicator because, you know, somebody in management was like, oh, I just picked this up and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, so I spent $68 on this thing and I can't use it. So they announced that we're not going back to work until January 2021 at the earliest. So then I ask my supervisor, I'm like, hey, any chance I can get my doc? He's like, I don't know if you really were paying close attention. If you didn't get the drift, that they were not going to allow you to do that. Well, it must have been later that day they announced that we could all get our monitors, our docs, our keyboards, and our mice if we wanted to. But so I got I haven't gone, you know, it's 150 miles away. It's a 300-mile round trip. I haven't gone there yet. I'm going to go there next week. But, and a couple of things. There's a place that powder coats rims, so I'm going to get my rims powder coated.
Wait, your rim or ribs? No, rims.
Rims. Yeah.
Wait, so let me get this right. You asked them in the meeting if you could get your doc, or they could send it to you. Why can't they?
If I could get it. If I could get it. I wouldn't even ask. I wouldn't ask that.
Really? Why wouldn't they send it to you? I mean, it's a fucking company.
Well,
probably because there's
a couple of reasons. First off, it's my choice that I work 150 miles from the office, so I feel it's my obligation. You're right. Like, if I was manager and I had an employee, like if I was around the corner or, you know, in the same town as the office, and I had an employee that was remote, I'd be like, dude, I'm throwing in a UPS to you right now.
Right.
Absolutely. I wouldn't think twice about it. But as far as I'm concerned, it's on me because I've chosen not to relocate. They would have paid for relocation. And, you know, when I say pay for relocation, it was like, yeah, we'll pay for the moving truck. It's like, you know, it's not like they're going to help me find a house and help me close on this house. You know, it wasn't red carpet service. Yeah. Anyhow, so yeah, I just thought it was funny that I asked again because they announced we're not going back to work until January at the earliest, and I got like substantially chewed out, and it like a
and then like hours later they said you can go get it, and you're then like, oh,
yes.
Jesus.
And so I'm in the team meeting when they announced it Tuesday that we can get everything from our office if we want. I'm like biting my tongue. I'm like, just shut up. There's no good that can come from this.
Now, if you go to pick it up, are you going to get everything, or are you just going to get the port replicator?
You know, just because I'm a little bit of a...
an asshole?
I think I'm going to pick everything up. But I'm kind of thinking about it. I'm like, right. I don't... All right, so now here's the other problem.
Take it, right?
Yeah. All right, I may rethink it because I have two monitors in Orlando that I bought from my Orlando place. So if I take my Orlando stuff home, because I'm closing shop there, and, you know, now I'm going to have four additional monitors. I'm like, yeah, that's going to suck. Now, I don't think I'm taking the monitors. I might take the cables.
Heck, the ones you have are probably better than what you have in the office anyway.
I'm not sure what size they are. They might be better. Actually, I guess I got four of the ones that are in front of me. Yeah, I'd probably have better monitors myself. Yeah.
Right.
So how do they... So if you can't use your USB-C port, right?
Right, right. There is a DVI port, and I got a DVI to HDMI adapter. And so I've got a second monitor plugged into that. But so I only have... And this is the other sin. You know, me being nearly 55, they give us a 13-inch laptop. And I'm like, 13-inch? The UI doesn't fit on the 13-inch.
Right.
Yeah, and even on like a 21-inch monitor, there's not enough real estate for all of the UI, like if you want to be looking at everything in VMware.
So will you be able to use all the ports on the port replicator?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's a blessed device, you know, blessed by the company.
Right. So technically, you could plug what you wanted to plug into the USB-C port into the port replicator and it'd be okay.
Yes, yes.
That's stupid, but anyway.
That's ridiculous.
Yep. Yeah, now here's like kind of a similar story, but see, this happened months ago because our company, like right at the beginning, we went 100% remote. There's nobody in the offices at all. Very, very few people, except for maybe like an IT person in case, you know, like for shipping laptops and shit like that, you know. We had like a all hands call, like where they had a chat room or something in the background where you can send questions in. All right, now you could tell all the people who were working in the office have no freaking clue. All right, because they were like, "Is the company going to pay for a chair for my home office, or can I take my chair from the office home?" And they're like, "No, you can't. You have to go buy your own chair." It's like us who have worked from home. In fact, I prefer that. Like except for the main laptop, and I also usually order the when I had when my laptop was a Lenovo, I had the port Lenovo awesome port replicator. But when we switched to Dell doesn't have a port replicator. They just have a Thunderbolt dock. Which is what
you know, NetOptics Fusion is next to Pearl Vision on 73 Ooh. Old Dublin Pike, Suite 10304.
Yeah, probably the whole 5 employees. Anyway, but like people were asking, like, can they pay to remodel? I'm not kidding. People were asking, will the company pay to remodel their room in their office for work? And so they're like, no. It's like people were just getting stupid. You know,
wow,
like,
that's very leechy.
Yeah, well, yeah. Think of this also too. Like now I've been down to Florida 3 times. Once in when they were in Maitland. Another time, both other times when they were in Lake Mary. Okay, and when you go to the office, like when we go to the office for meetings, you know, the daily folks have this all the time that work in the office. Like for example, there's a fridge full of like Seagram's seltzer, Diet Coke, Mountain Dew, so on and so forth. I mean, you can just get as much as you want. There's no limit on it. The company pays for coffee too. I mean, there's a regular coffee machine which can take the little packets with the little valve on the top that. So they can brew coffee or tea or whatever, not in the same machine. There's that. They got an espresso machine in the office. They got a foosball table in there. They have game nights and all this other crazy stuff. And it's like all this stuff that you have when they're in the office. And I think that's all going to go away here within a very few years. I think our company is going to really embrace remote workers for what we do, because it just doesn't make sense. And I think that's going to be just worldwide. I think office real estate is going to shrink tremendously. I think your typical corporate office in 5 years will have a couple conference rooms, maybe a couple offices for people that are coming into a when they're on business and this in the reception area, and that's it. I bet you that's all it will be. You know, especially since a lot of companies and a lot of colleges are starting to also, you know, migrate to the cloud. And that's kind of our mission right now in our company, is to get all of our clients to the cloud. And that's what we want. It's specifically our cloud, not somebody else's. Like when while I was still working in professional services, and I had an installation where I actually did the installation. The machines I was running in all ran on Azure. But we didn't have any of the cloud tools. We basically treated it just like a on-prem install, because that's how we had to treat it. But when you come to us, we got AWS, we're doing Jenkins, we're doing scripting, we're scripting everything out to manage log files and to manage directories. If there's a directory where called the hold directory, which is when anybody runs a report, dumps into that directory, and you can have private ones and stuff like that too. But the system itself is designed to just plug in and say, hey, if it exceeds this date, delete it. No, we have to write either PowerShell or a corn shell script to take care of it, depending on which OS the company, the host is running on. So, we're going to start automating all that happy horse shit. That way we don't have to worry about it. And we're also doing automated service recovery too on the servers. So like if it detects an issue, it'll just reboot the server depending on what the issue is, I guess.
Hold on one second. Rich.
Yes?
Where do you see a Pearl Vision?
So I went to Google Maps.
Because I gotta ask, did you click on the circle on Google Maps and go into the building?
No. So I put in 73
and look at who's in the building.
You can go in the building? Like this is an L-shaped strip mall.
So if you go to 73 Old Dublin Pike, Doylestown, PA 18901. It puts a little circle. It's right next to Weiss, right?
Yes.
It puts a little circle in there. Click on the little circle. You will go into the building. You will see the inside of it. Scroll around and look who's using a computer.
Wait. All right. What I do wrong here? How I got 73 Old Dublin Pike, whatever.
Right. So right there in the L shape. If you zoom all the way in and click the little what's that? The little browse street view images, but don't browse into the street view. There should be a little blue circle right there on 73 Old Dublin Pike. If you hover over it, it'll open up a little picture of inside.
Oh wait,
the building. You click on that, you will go in the building.
Okay,
turn the camera around 180 degrees, and there is a dude standing right there working on a computer.
Is that Joel?
Doubtful.
You can zoom in on him.
Joel, I think you're famous.
But yeah, is this the company? Are they not selling cell phones?
I don't think so.
Because I was
they got hand sanitizer on their desk. They have the iPhone X, so we know it's an old picture.
It says Ryan Stewart.
It says February 2018.
Yeah. How Verizon do we know it's authorized... Ryan? Well, how do I know? Because it says Ryan under Verizon authorized retailer, GCC.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
I see
that.
Ryan Stewart. I don't know who Ryan Stewart is.
Oh, that is too funny.
Well, he's a local guy. Level four.
So is this like next to the sport clips or...
This is unit 3. So I think NetObjects Fusion is where the I don't know who preceded who or succeeded, but there's a UPS store that says it's unit 10.
I can't find the Pearl Vision.
Yeah, I can't find the Pearl Vision either.
Where did you hear Pearl Vision? Was it like on their website?
Well, when you type in the address on Google Maps, it shows you Pearl Vision on the right, and then on the left is Unit 10.
It makes me wonder if they've since torn their office building down and built this strip mall there.
There's a Burger King nearby, Joel.
The Mansum.
Domino's Maybe. Pizza.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
The Mantham selling hamburgers with less cow farts.
There's a lot of picture places over here. I don't know. What indoor stuff? I never knew that that you now look inside buildings in Google Maps. This is the first time I've learned of that.
Yeah, a lot of the like times when you search for something, like you can see like a whole series of pictures inside the building, inside the shop, depending where you go.
I guess you have to set that up yourself. Provide them with the pictures.
Yep. Well,
I'm clicking on a house that's behind that building. Holy cow! I'm inside this building.
Are you over there at the Aldi Mansion?
Yes, I'm checking out the Aldi Mansion.
Yeah,
somebody must have done a 3D walkthrough.
There's a lot of those pictures in there. Holy mackerel, you're right. That's cool. You could go through this whole mansion.
Looks like a catering hall.
Yeah. Oh, you look in the mirror. You click on the mirror and you go somewhere. Where did you go? Where did I go? I went through the mirror and now I have no idea where I am. Oh, wait.
I know how to get back where I started.
Wait. Somehow I went through a mirror and I ended up somewhere else.
I'm in the library with a big fireplace.
I'm looking at, like, I don't know what the, I'm near a staircase.
Oh, me too. I'm going to wave.
Wait, are you at the staircase where you see one going up and one going down? They're, like, right near each other? And there's a lamp on the table?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I see a fire extinguisher.
There's books on this. Wait. Yeah, I think we're in the same place. Right below the exit sign, there's two windows.
I'm going up the landing. It looks like they have forced hot air. I see a grate.
Ooh.
In the wall.
Somehow I ended up in front of the lamp instead of going up the landing.
Uh-oh, No, I'm back in the library where I started.
I'm on the second floor. Or
this is exciting
whatever.
Talk for the
show. It's like Castle Wolfenstein. Well, you can follow along at home. Just look at the show notes. I'm sure Dan will post a link, right?
You know what? Wouldn't that, like, I bet you one day, like, the next evolution of this is going to be, like,
real
if
time,
I'm in
dude.
Here walking around, looking around, it'll tell me that you're in here looking around, too.
We'll have a little avatar.
Yeah.
That'll be freaky. Just found out something about my car.
There's a foosball table.
Ooh, there you go. No, I found out my car actually has a trailer hitch on it already.
You said that last week.
Oh, I did? Okay, I didn't remember.
Yeah, that it has a receiver under a panel. Yeah. You couldn't figure out that there was even a panel there.
Yeah, actually, they hit it well. I mean, you really can't see it until you feel along the edge and you feel the little knobs. It's amazing.
You felt its knobs?
Yes, I felt its knobs. I keep trying to convince the wife. I want to look at
she won't let
campers. No, she's like, well, it's like one. It's like one.
Joel didn't get it.
She's like, I hate my house. The house. I want to move. And I'm like,
oh my god, you're married to my wife?
Wait, didn't you just renovate that house?
Well, it's not completely done. I mean, we've got quite a bit done. You know, I got a. One bathroom we gotta do yet. Technically, the downstairs one, we probably just slap a coat of paint on it and call it good. But I probably will end up remodeling it too, and a couple little minor things we need to fix. Now she's like, well, I'm gonna buy a house. And I'm like, I want to move. She's like, I want to move away from. No, get this. She's like, I want to move away from you know, out from away from people, which I get, because I do too. All right. But she's like, I want to stay in Franklin County. I'm like, good fucking luck. I mean, Franklin County's pretty much dominated by Columbus and a bunch of suburbs, you know, you're not going to find a place out in the country in Franklin County. It's just not going to happen. But, and then I say, and she, so one of the things she's like looking for is like, she wants, you know, like,
ooh, Jeffrey Miller more catering. Room.
Yeah, she wants more room. All right. Then she also wants everything on one floor. I'm like, okay, good luck with that, too.
Oh. All right. So we lived in a three-story townhouse that we were renting, and I actually looked for 7 years for a house that we liked and could afford, and we got this place, which was something we liked and could barely afford. And then my wife's like, I think I want to sell the house. I want to move. And I kept, like, arguing with her. And then I finally said, okay, let's do it. I'm like, so how long do you think it'll take to find a new house? I mean, it took us 7 years to find this one. So how long do you think it'll take to find a house?
She's like, probably 10 years.
I said, okay, and so are you counting on us finding a house and all the stars aligning that we're going to be able to sell this house?
Yeah.
Move out on Friday and move in Monday on a new place? Or do you think we're going to be paying mortgages on two houses for a long period of time?
Yeah, that's
so I finally tanked, which I hate to say. Look, it's just the three of us. I got a 1.25-acre, 3,500 square foot house. It's ridiculous. It's a large house right. for the three of us, and with my daughter going to college, she might not come back. It's a real big house, and I like it, but it's not reasonable. You know, it's just
see, and that's kind of what I'm like. I mean, I know we should probably I would think that we should be able to sell our house this house pretty quickly. And the reason I say that is
because the car isn't on blocks anymore. It's gone.
There was neighbors across the street. They had moved down to West Virginia because they were basically going full time mission. And they were running like a ministry down in West Virginia, and then they decided they just want to stay there for the rest of their life. But when they first moved down there, they still owned the house, and they were just renting it to this woman and her daughter that they knew. And then just recently, we saw her move out, and then they put the house up for sale. It wasn't even on the market for more than a week, and it was already gone. So wow. I'm like. Yeah, I was rather impressed because, you know, my area is not, well, it's not a bad area, but, you know, but it's like, it's not.
But
like,
you live there, so we get it.
It's not Westerville or Dublin, which are a little bit nicer areas, or Worthington or Powell or anything like that. Anything north of here is fairly nice. South side, you got to deal with the quarries blasting once a day and then you got all the rest of the craziness that's happening down here. So, anyway, I do want to take her over. We probably are going to start looking, but one place I want to go is actually not far from here. It is in Franklin County, and they're making a little bit nicer homes over there. But the thing that I'm not exactly keen on is this area is if you're going down the bottom of I-270 on Columbus, on the south side of I-270, you're going to drive past, like, right before you
when did I get again?
Off of that.
Oh, I was hoping.
No. I probably just wiggled my fingers. Anyway.
That probably took a lot of effort.
If you drive past there, there's three antenna towers, and it's like right in front of those antenna towers, like big ones, like this is where 610 WTVN's antenna tower is.
So you're getting a lot of radiation, is what you're saying to us.
That you know, I'm an amateur radio operator. That bullshit doesn't scare me because I know it's bullshit. But in any event, it's just that I don't know. Yeah, open my front door and see three antennas. I don't know, but there were some really nice ones in there. Like these are all would be antennas? New builds too. No, houses. These will be new builds too. Like the one that I looked at had a 4 bedrooms, a fairly large kitchen, and it was.
Well, right, what are you kicking your son out?
Don't get me started on that one.
Joel, kick the boy out, divorce the wife, move in with your dad.
I actually wouldn't mind to move. Actually, I don't want to move in with him. He doesn't have enough room. My nephew's moved in with him. Because he's tired of his sisters. But, well, that, and then my brother has, in his house, he has both his daughters and his grandson living with him. So when Richard lived over there, yeah, my nephew's Richard. My dad's name's Richard too, so. But you had Richard, Alyssa, and Kaylee, and little Dale, and Tim and Jenny. So they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people living in a house that's probably about as big as, if you put our bedrooms together, all three of those, that's about how big their house is. Their house is tiny compared to ours. And it's a mess. So, but we'll see. I don't know. I'm not looking hardcore yet, you know. And then the stars just have to align. I would like to move the place. Like, I like saw this really one nice looking place, older place down in Mount Sterling, Ohio, which is probably about 20 minutes from here. It had 4 bedrooms, really nice kitchen, hardwood floors out throughout, beautiful house, connected 2-car garage, and a pole barn.
That's what I want in the
200s. I mean, which is what? Right around what I'm looking at, 200,000. It's like 260. Yeah, it's 260, 270, somewhere around there. So and a fairly decent plot of land too. So I mean not a lot of land, but enough, you know. It's right there. And I think it's gone already. I went back to look on Zillow to look for it and I couldn't find it again. I'm like, damn it. Oh well.
Well, but, you know, if anybody, two things. One, if you're looking to buy a house, now is a very good time. The other thing is, if you're looking to refinance, the rates are crazy low.
Yeah.
Yep. So if you're 4% or above, you really should look to refinance. You can very easily get a 30-year for 3.375%. You can get a 15-year for less.
Right. See, we're down below half. Well, unless you count the home equity line of credit that we have as well, which is our second mortgage. On the original mortgage, we have less than 50 now on it to pay. Plus that's the other thing too, Rich. When we moved in here in 98, we paid 104, and the values have all gone up in our neighborhood, which is amazing to me. But when we had the estimate done for the home equity line of credit, we found out it was valued it right around 170. So we made money just living here. Once we sell it, we'll make money on it.
Well, the problem is, did comparable real estate also have the same rise? And so if you typically, the unfortunate thing is you're probably going to be making a lateral move financially, unless you're moving into a different geography where it hasn't experienced a rise.
Right. Correct.
Or if you have a rental property, then it's all gravy.
Right. So, in any event, we'll see. It's not going to be anytime soon, I can tell you that much. Because
I've been here 5 years. Was it 2004?
Yeah.
No, 2014. So it's going to be 6 years November that I got this house. And I think the house went up over 100K.
There you go. But the thing that just irks me, though, with her, though, is we get back from this camp trip. And she's like, I think we want to buy an RV. I'm like, okay. So I start looking and stuff. I'm like, okay, let's go let's go take some time next week and go look at one. No, I don't want to do that. I'm like, why? Well, because I'm looking at what we can afford. Because I know what we can afford. I even though I don't know all the details.
I can afford a pup pit.
Right. Right. So, and I'm not looking at big Class A RVs. I'm looking at, especially now since I know we have a trailer hitch, and really the only thing I have to add is the ball. And
so you're looking at a pop-up.
Right, yeah. Yeah, or an A-liner. Yeah, which mm-hmm. are, you know, either of those get us right at around $100 a month, which is not horrible. All right. And I know I'd use it a lot. I'd probably go camping more if we had it, for sure. You know, it'd be worth it, you know. She's like, no, I want to buy the RV that we really want to have. You want to buy the RV that costs more than my house right now, okay? Oh, and it's like, you know, that's never going to happen. I mean, first off, I wouldn't spend that much on an RV, you know, because you get those big-ass RVs. They're like 200 grand. I ain't right. joking.
So my friend bought a diesel, what is it, like a 6.3 turbo diesel, 60-foot party limo type bus.
Yeah.
And he's getting, he's got a four-wheel drive setup put on it. He had custom rims, you know, custom wheels made, and he's got some military tires put on it. So they're all the same wheel because it was set up for dualies in the rear. And he basically stripped the limo stuff out, and he's making it into an RV, like a beach going, so he can go on the beach, because his big thing is going on the beach fishing.
That's actually becoming really common, either to buy those, or they'll buy the Ram vans, like the Amazon vans, and they'll put a bed and stuff in it.
Yeah, but that's... yeah, a lot of people are doing that, but that's right. not... That's not going to get you off-road.
No, it's not. But, yeah, but it's like, you know, and I think part of her reason for not liking those is I had a ham radio friend, still have him. He's still around. He's getting old, though. But when we first got married, the first weekend back in the Columbus area after our honeymoon was field day weekend. So I had already planned on going to that, and she's like, okay, I'll go with you and all that. And we just put up a tent. And my friend, he has a pop-up camper. I've seen it two or three times. I've seen him putting it up in it. His was a real hassle because his is probably from the 60s or the 70s, okay? And this is in the late 90s. So they've made quite a bit of advances in pop-up camper technology. You know, you can literally – one person can literally put the pop-up up with very little effort. I mean, you put the stabilizer surjacks down as well as the stand on the trailer hitch, and then you unlatch some latches and pop up the middle part and pull out the sides, flip the door up, and you know that's about it. I mean, there's not much to it. You gotta go inside, and there's like a prop near the ceiling in the bed area that pushes out the fabric sections of the pop up. But in those pop-ups too, you have AC, air conditioning, you have heat. Of course, you can hook it up to the shore power as well as it does have a generator. Most of them, at least the one I was looking at, had a generator, and I'm not even looking at a high-end one and it has a generator. And
so, what's something like that go for?
It's not that bad. Less than my Traverse.
I don't know what that is. Are we talking 30 grand, 40 grand? What are we talking about?
Oh, way less than 40 grand. More like less than 20 grand.
Okay.
All I'll look it up here. I mean, there's certain, there's some things that are in this thing that I'll probably never use. Like, I think there's also a cable TV jack, which I'm like, no. Give me Wi-Fi or 3G, and I'm fine with that. So just go to Specialty RV, which is the RV place between here and Lancaster. The first one listed, now granted, this is priced high to low, okay, in the list. So this is the higher end one. It's $17,995. Now if we go low to high, that would also, well, the first few are used, like there was a 2012 and a 1994. The 1994, though, says sale price $500. For 2020 Forest River Rockwood Freedom is $10,995. It'll sleep, well, technically, it'll probably sleep. Has a 60 by 80 bed and a 48 by 80 bed, and then the dinette area you can flatten down to a bed. And there's also a sofa bed in it, so it can sleep a lot of people in it. But it's got a gas grill that you can well, it makes me wonder, because some of the options that you'll see on these, like that you can buy a gas grill that you can hang off the side of the pop-up for grilling. Some of them, depending on which one you get, some of them, the stove itself, you can cook inside if you want to. But you can also pick it up and then hook it up to a connection on the outside. It hooks up the same gas, of course. But these things have awnings and a fridge, and it's got some storage in it too, you know. I mean, it's not the pop-up camper that she remembers. I'm also starting to look a little bit smaller than these would be the A-liners. And those would be a little lighter too, I think. The A-liners are, some of these are beautiful. And I watched a video of one of the newer ones where they had the whole thing set up in about, I would say a minute. She said 30 seconds, but I think a minute is probably more likely until you get used to it. Then you'll probably get it down to 30 seconds. But it's just a matter of flipping some latches, raise the roof, walk in and push the side with the door up and connect the door up. And then with all that happens within seconds, and then you flip the other one up, and then you latch everything down inside, and you're ready to go. And it's a hard roof, and there's no fabric in it, unless you get the dormers. There are A-liners with dormers on the side, which basically are essentially just expansions, fabric expansions. But of course, I'd make my own additions to it. But if you want to see some really interesting stuff of boondocking in an A-liner and a fiberglass trailer, look up Slim Potato Head on YouTube. And he's got some really interesting stuff, and he's been camping everywhere. He lives in Canada, but he's been camping all across the United States, all the way down to Mexico. Obviously, the guy's not married. Because I don't know if I would ever do that, unless I was, if I was single, I'd probably do that. And it's fascinating, some of the stuff he's done. One of the things he's done with his, what he did with his A-liner is he put solar panels on the top. He's basically made it so that his cooler, which is just basically one of those refrigerator cooler things, those that could, the solar panels would run those. Basically, the cooler would be connected to the battery, and then the solar panels will charge the batteries. And he also did a wind turbine on his too as well. So, yeah, I don't know when that's going to happen. I'd hope soon, but we'll see. We'll see. And I don't remember if I knew if it was canceled last week or not, but the pumpkin show that we always go to was canceled due to the virus this year. And one of the things I'm going to do, and I implore everyone, like, for example, if Ohio Linux Fest doesn't happen, which I would say probably wouldn't happen at this point, make an effort to do something to make it suck less so that OLF can return in 2021. And that's kind of what I'm going to do with the pumpkin show, is I'm going to make an effort to send some money to the churches and stuff that I would buy, churches and community organizations that I would buy stuff from down there. And I'm also going to probably make a special trip between now and the normal pumpkin show time, buy some donuts at the bakery that's Mama Pop Bakery down there. This is a whole area where the pumpkin show is a huge deal for that area, and all these community organizations and churches, that would make their year funding wise, and now they're going to get considerably less. So I'm going to try and make it suck a little less for those people.
Closing time.
It is, man.
Yep. What have you been up to, Joe?
This and that. Working on, fixing up my garage and testing out a dock for my Dell Venue 7130. I'm actually really liking how well it's working at this point. Because previously I had read that with the dock, the HDMI and DisplayPort outputs didn't work. And from what I can see, they work just fine. And they're not using DisplayLink, which I have a problem with because of how much overhead is involved. It's really not optimized for Linux. So I'm not getting that processor overhead for running a larger display on a tablet.
What's DisplayLink?
DisplayLink is USB. Most of your USB to monitor outputs run over DisplayLink. I can't think of anything else that they run on. But it's really optimized for Windows. I'm happy they put out a version for Linux. It's just really has a lot of overhead.
So what does use if it doesn't use DisplayLink?
Just as far as I know, it's not, because it's a proprietary connector. I'm thinking it's just seeing it as an internal HDMI connection.
Oh, okay. How many ports does it have on it then?
The dock, let's see, 1, 2, 3 USB ports. I haven't checked to see if they're USB 3.0 or USB 2.0, but I know the device itself has USB 3.0 on it. And then it's got a display port and a HDMI output and a 3.5 millimeter jack. But yeah, with the power supply, it costs about between $35 and $40 to get this dock. And it's an okay price, but with
how much
without,
was that again?
Like between $35 and $40.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. Oh, and it's got an Ethernet port on it too.
Is it made by Dell?
Yes, it is made by Dell. But there are other ones out there, and I'm going to look around and see if I can't bring the cost down a little bit. I'd love to be able to get like a couple of them. And it's always good to have these in case your USB charging port goes out.
Yep. Yep.
It's always really good to have a second way to charge your device.
Any device. Like, you can't, I'm a fan of the wireless stuff.
You can't charge off of any of the USB, just any of the USB ports? Is a specific one?
With this device, it's kind of requires more power. So while it is a micro USB port for charging, it does require a very specific charger that has a higher output. So, well, it's great when you're looking online and somebody's selling one of these tablets for extremely cheap, and it says that the reason that they're selling it is that it won't turn on, and then you know you get it and you hook it up to a proper charger and it turns right on.
Wow, so that's how you got yours.
Well, yeah, I've gotten two of them that way for like less than $40.
Wow.
How much is the charger?
The charger, 15?
10, damn, 15? So they could have just bought a charger and solved their problem.
Yep. And then these devices in perfect working condition, blah, et cetera.
With all their information still on it, right?
Probably. Well, you can remove the hard drive on these. So the M.2 that goes into it, or NGFF, NVMe drive that goes into it, you can just yank that out. And so, yeah, a perfect working device, even without the NGFF drive, sells between 100 and 120. Sometimes you can find deals on working ones, but I prefer to get the, you know, the 8 gig of RAM model. And I prefer the 7130 over the 7140, despite the fact that the 7140 has pretty equivalent processing power and much better battery life. It's just Linux runs a whole lot better on the 7130.
It reminds me of the for my Surface, they just released, trying to remember when, not too long ago, the new Surface Dock 2, which connects up to the standard Surface connector, and it adds Ethernet. Bye.
Get in your bed.
Oh, he's trying to put him in bed. That's it. But it's got Ethernet, it's got a headphone jack, looks like USB ports, regular USB ports, as well as USB-C ports too, which see, it has two front-facing USB-C, two rear-facing USB-C, so a total of four USB-C ports, two rear-facing USB-A, a 3.5 millimeter audio jack, 1 gigabit Ethernet. The only problem is it's $169. But it adds all those things that my Surface doesn't have, like the USB-Cs and the Ethernet.
Well, my most recent project purchase, which hasn't arrived yet, is 10 USB 3.0 docks.
There you go.
The ThinkPad, it's not the One Link, they're the USB 3.0 instead. I have one of those and it works great, but no power supply is with it. So I also ordered a power supply, and so I think it cost me like $40 for the set of 10 untested, and then $8 for the power supply, which I will use to test all of them. And then, you know, if I ordered more, well, a number of power supplies for however many I get working. I can then turn around and sell those for $40 each, or put them up on Facebook Marketplace, considering the prices people want to sell computer parts for around here, for around $60 to $80 each. Because people are insane.
Yep.
I've actually been pricing used computers on Facebook Marketplace for a while, and I don't know if it's just the whole effect of the more costly stuff is the stuff that gets left on Facebook Marketplace and the reasonably priced stuff sells immediately. But looking at like 5-year-old hardware and comparing it to the brand new system that I put together with the Ryzen 5 3600, I paid less for brand new than people are trying to sell 5-year-old equipment for. That isn't as good.
Yeah, well, with Facebook Marketplace, are not the people that are selling on there aren't savvy at all.
Yeah, and it never ceases to amaze me that they'll try and sell a computer and put the price up and say, "Oh, it works great," and then not tell you anything about it.
Yeah, well, a lot of people
figure
I spent $800 on this 2 years ago. It's still worth $100, right? No.
Or they'll say i5 processor.
Well, yeah, which version?
What does that tell me? It tells me nothing.
Right. Well, I added a little member to my mobile device museum. I picked up on eBay for $20 a handspring prism.
I don't know what that is.
20-year-old Palm OS device.
You know, and I still have a Dell Axum X51V.
Nice.
I loved that device when I was using it all the time. Only problem, I would still have it turned on and be doing little things with it or seeing what still runs on it. The only problem is it won't connect to Wi-Fi unless I really, really downgrade my security to, like, WEP.
Yeah, it's probably only supported, 802.11b, I think.
Yeah.
Does the Prism work?
Yeah, the handspring Prism, yeah, it works great.
What are you doing with it? I'm just curious. Like, what are you using it for?
Just a kind of like nostalgia, okay. Mostly. But I am loading like and here's the other kicker too. Trying to get, well, this thing won't sync with anything modern on Windows. I tried to get it working on Windows, did not work. Right now, out of the box, really the only thing you can sync it with is Palm Desktop, which if that would work, I would be fine with that because I'm not using it for the calendar functions. The only thing I wanted Palm Desktop or any kind of syncing to work with it for was so I can install if you're unfamiliar with Palm OS, it uses a couple different formats. Applications are in what's called a PRC file. Databases are in a PDB file. Database could be like a database of stuff to look up, stuff like that. You know, it's only got like 8 megabytes of storage on it, so it's, you're not loading a lot of stuff on it. Like, I put a little solitaire game on it and other things. I also found for 99 cents on the Android App Store, and it works really great with the Note. Is there's a program called PHEM, which is a Palm emulator. So you can emulate it on your Note device, and since the Note has a stylus, you can use Graffiti with it too. Graffiti is the handwriting recognition that it had. You basically would write letters in a little bit weird of a way, but once you got good at it, you could really fly on it with the stylus. So you can also, there's also a Graffiti add-on for Android too. So if you wanted to use Graffiti to write notes with your stylus on your Note devices, you could do that.
But, Mama, don't forget you gotta do the bathroom.
Yeah, use the bathroom.
I never had this particular handspring visor. I did have the green, because they made them like the first editions of the handspring devices. They came out with the ones that ran on AAA batteries. Those ones also had grayscale screens on them, and they also made them different colors. And the one I had was green. It was the Handspring Visor Deluxe. So, but this is actually very similar to that. It just has a color screen on it, and it's grainy as hell too, compared to looking at a modern device. You can see the pixels. But that's really why I got this nostalgia. I'm probably gonna do some reorganizing around here and probably set up like a little museum on a shelf of older stuff that I don't use that much, just because it's nice to remember where we came from. But now I tried syncing it with Windows. I tried syncing it with Linux. The only thing that I got the sync to actually work on was I have a PowerBook G4 with a Mac OS, I think 10.5 on it. It worked fine on that. And good enough for me to just offload games and stuff and put it on there and dig around with the stylus games. You're not running anything fantastically fantastic on it, you know, but, you know, that's not what it's about. You know, the whole reason I bought it was just because I liked Palm OS back in the day. And the only other PDA devices I had, other than Palm devices, I only had a couple of those. But then I had quite a bit of those Wintz devices or Pocket PC devices.
You never had any of the Dell Axum line? I mean, they were great.
I was an iPad guy. So I had the 5455, which I think that was the last one that would take the... the iPad had a real unique expansion method where you slide it into a dock, and you can get a dock with they even had a dock with PC cards, but I had the Compact Flash one, which would add Compact Flash ability, and you can also put it didn't need Wi-Fi on it, but you can put a modem into the
The Dell Axum X51V had Compact Flash built in,
yeah,
and
yeah.
And SD. It wasn't micro SD, it was full size SD. And I really like that device, and I used it for several years.
Yeah, it had the 5455.
And it sadly was a Windows device, but people did port Android over to it. But I think the farthest I got was Windows Mobile 6.5, because once you got to 7.0, 7.0 wasn't terrible, but once you got to 8, you lost all that back library of installable applications, because they completely changed everything, and there was a really large library of applications that you could get to do just about anything that you wanted.
There were, yeah.
Plus the configuration for that little device when it was on 6.5 and below was very desktop-like. Yes, the screen was 3.5 inches, but still. Or no, I think 4 inches. But yeah, somewhere in that range. But it was still great to have a desktop in my hand.
Yep.
And I use that for ebooks. Granted, they were the Windows formatted one. What was that?
Microsoft Reader.
Yeah, .lit. And then I used it for audiobooks as well. It was my first audiobook player.
It was my first. My Pocket PCs were my first MP3 player.
Plus, I had Skype set up on that, and I had something else set up on it to be able to make actual phone calls from it over Wi-Fi, and it didn't work all that well, but it was still fun to set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had several. Like, I had the Toshiba E740, which was the first pocket PC with Wi-Fi. And I also had the iPac 4355 that had a BlackBerry style keyboard on the bottom, which was nice. My favorite one though was the 5455. I had that, and I had the CF dock for that, where you slide it in. See, the nice thing I liked about that one is, if I didn't want the CF dock, I didn't have to have it. If I didn't need it.
It is getting kind of late. I am enjoying talking about the older PDAs, because it was interesting, especially you got to consider the time frame and what was available for phones. Everybody was still using flip phones or smartphones like the Samsung Behold 2,
which was the Treo 600,
total piece of garbage. So if you wanted something that is the equivalent to a smartphone today, you had to get a PDA.
Yep.
All right. It's getting late. I need to get going.
Did you ever get a PDA, Dan, when back in the day?
I had one through work, yeah. But, we got to get going. So see you later, Joe.
Yep, later.
Have a good one. Yeah, I had a Palm Pilot for a little while that we had. They were all given around work. But that was about it. It was pretty
neat. You probably got them free with your laptop.
There was a teacher who was using a bunch of them in class and doing neat things with them. And then all the administrators had gotten Palm Pilots. It was neat, but it was... I didn't get very too much limiting. Out of them. Yes.
Very limiting. You know, back in the day, and I still kind of use that mentality, is laptops and desktops are like file cabinets, and servers are going to be like your file cabinet room, and then a tablet, if you have that, it's like your notebook, and your smartphone today is more like your little notepad that you always used to keep around to take notes on, now granted it's a lot more than that now, but but size wise, that's kind of what I always compared it to.
And that same thing with a Palm today.
Phew, be back in the day. And yeah, these are the Palm. A lot of the Palm devices never had Wi-Fi on them until much later. So. One of the Palm devices I always wanted but never got was a Palm Life Drive that had had Wi-Fi in it, and it had a 4 gigabyte micro drive in it. Back in the day, we were styling if you had that.
Yeah, we gotta wrap this up.
Yep, have a good one.
Oh, we didn't play us out yet. Hold on, I gotta get the everybody's favorite promos.
Promo including our long missed 5150. But they never sent you another promo yet, so
yeah. All right, here we go. Everybody, thank you very much. We'll see you in a week. Have a good one, man. Your promo.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making it poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that more expensive one has got a pop-out sign on it, too. And a toilet and shower. See, the only thing I wouldn't like about the ones with the toilet and the shower is cleaning out the black and the gray tanks. Because the poop's got to go somewhere.
On the side of the road?
No. They make these pits that you can dump them in at the campground before you leave. See, I don't even necessarily want one with the shower and that in it, because I'm not afraid, you know, walk down to the shower house ain't no big deal. See, that's why I'm really wanting to look at, like, the A-liners are much smaller. You know, the only kind of pain in the ass with it is you got to convert the dinette area into a bed for Luke, but that's not that big a deal. The other thing I thought of, too, is we'd have the ways to connect our CPAP in there. But where are you going to put them? There's not really side tables in the camper necessarily. I guess we could. We may have to figure something out. Maybe figure out a way that we can put like a flip down shelf on a if we get the A-liner on one of the ceilings, that way we can run the cord underneath the mattress and then run the cord, the hose and stuff down from those shelves. And my nephew's coming Friday. We're going to pay him to finish the backyard. Just found out he got laid off. He worked for a college, Ohio Wesleyan.
Well, that stinks.
Yep. Well, they're not going to have anybody on campus, so there's almost no reason for him to have a job there. So he's gone. See you, dude.
Oops.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of activity in the gun group, so I was there. But, like, Nick. These people, you know, it's low activity.
All except for the annoying pop-up I get every single time I go into the app about going premium. It's like, no.
Yeah, it's not that often. Once a week, maybe.
Tells you how often I go in there.
I haven't been on Facebook. I don't do Twitter. Twitter is the sewer of the internet.
It's where all the Karens go to complain.
I mean, I think they banned the Jewish star today. Isn't that even the hate symbol? I mean, give me a fucking break.
Oh,
next
my God.
Next, they're going to ban the, you know, crucifix as the hate symbol.
Twitter is where all the Karens go to complain if they're not on Nextdoor. And the Karens are really bad on Nextdoor.
And Karen is the most overused term this year.
I know, but it's right.
My sister's name is Karen.
I'm sorry for her. And ironically, the Karen image goes all the way over around. She's not actually Karen. That's Kate from Kate Plus 8.
Yeah, and last year was Boomer, and the year before that was jaw-dropping.
Okay, Boomer.
Your Karen posted jaw-dropping.
Well, the male Karen is a Chad, too. Goodness.
I got my hair cut on Saturday.
I need to get one again.
What'd you get?
Haircut. You got a mall cut.
Haircut. Oh. Yeah, I've been cutting my own hair for like the last 10 years.
You don't have
yeah,
that
but
much.
When you only need a freaking razor, you know.
But when when you need tweezers to do it.
Hey, bird. Is he on your shoulder?
Nah, he's on the perch. He wants to be on my hand and not on my shoulder, which is a pain in the ass, because then I can't type and do things.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening.
Hey, Dad.
How you doing?
Pat? Joel's burp?
Yes, sir.
What's it smell like this week? Taco Bell?
We slummed it today. We got McDonald's.
Oh.
Dude, really? I couldn't tell you the last time I ate McDonald's.
Oh, that's probably
awful. It'd been a month or so.
No, and what I say can't tell you, it's probably been easily over a year. I mean, I might get some on the road, but I seriously can't remember the last time I had one.
Worst fucking hamburgers ever.
Oh, it's unbelievable, man. But then again, I'm not buying anything from Burger King because they're cow farts.
Cow farts.
We're working to reduce cow fart emissions.
I buy Burger King even less than McDonald's, to be honest.
Those burgers are better. At least they're tolerable.
They are.
And of course,
sometimes
my buddy who...
it's just the simple burger you want. You know, the simple McDonald's burger with just the pickles and the ketchup and the cheese. The standard cheeseburger is not too awful.
It's the worst. No. The McDonald's patties are the worst. If you ever eat a McDonald's burger
Depends on your McDonald's, too.
No, it doesn't. If you eat a McDonald's burger plain, it is the, like, with nothing. Just, like, take a piece of the meat and eat it with no cheese, no ketchup.
Nasty.
It's the worst thing on the planet.
It's pretty darn disgusting.
They fucking microwave. It's disgusting.
I remember when Burger King microwaved them and everybody thought that was awful. Now everybody's doing it.
Oh, it's... You know, well, they only warm them up a little bit. You know, Burger King had their steamer. I used to work... That was my first job, was working at Burger King. The main reason you microwaved it was to melt the cheese.
Oh, that's the other worst thing. I hate when you get a cheeseburger and they just put cheese on top of the slightly warm burger. It's like, oh, I could have done that.
Even I microwave my burger after I cook it when I put the cheese on because I wanted to melt. If it's not on a grill, if I got it outside in the grill, I just throw the cheese on it and let it sit there while I go to get the plate to get them off, you know. But lately,
so
I just haven't been going outside.
Fast food joint, Taco Bell. Most satisfying bang for the buck overall.
As a cheap steak.
The grilled cheese burrito is delicious.
What were you going to say,
Rich? As a cheapskate, Taco Bell is my favorite.
Definitely, yeah.
A friend of mine who identifies as a Blaxican gets mad at me for liking Taco Bell.
Hey, I'm going to get a Chipotle right on High Street, right across from Kroger and all that, as soon as they finish building it.
I like Bolle also, but, you know, it's like I just started going there because my daughter likes it.
My main problem with Chipotle is how large the damn things are.
Oh, yeah, like you get a burrito at Chipotle, that's like as big as your arm.
It's like freaking two meals if you eat it in two settings. I say if. I don't know anybody who doesn't eat it in one setting.
Yeah, just a second, it's White Castle.
White Castle's delicious for some dumb reason.
No, well, as a New Yorker, we only ate White Castle at like 3, 4 a.m. to finish the carnage.
Yeah, but there's not even a White Castle in New York City, I think.
I don't know about New York City, but definitely in Queens there are.
There was one in Brooklyn. There's definitely a couple of Staten Island.